Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Sindiswa.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I am very well. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Oh, man. That's beautiful. Well, I'm good as well. I'm good. And I'm in the care of the Lord. Thank you so much for asking.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank
we're
you
talking
very
about
much.
No.
I was just saying, long time no speak.
We have not spoken this year, actually.
We have not spoken this year.
Interesting. My goodness. But did you start this way this year well?
Very well. Very well. Thank you so much, Summer, for asking.
Spent a lot of your time in court yet?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Been in and out. I was actually in court this morning as well.
Ah, right. Lovely. Which means that business is doing good. Thank you so much for that.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Now, in SA, the classification of gig workers such as Uber drivers, Checker 6060 riders, and many others but similarly, that are similar, is that a critical legal turning point? As of early this very year, while most remained classified as independent contractors by their platforms, new legislation proposed 2025-26 labor law amendments are moving to broaden the definition of an employee to include platform-based workers. It's got to be an interesting one. Now, historically, the South African Labour Court has held that drivers are independent contractors, primarily because they lack direct contractual relationship with a local subsidiary, e.g. Uber, Bolt, etc. What are the immediate consequences of this classification for a driver's right to, for instance, sick leave, unemployment insurance, etc.?
Very beautiful question, Zama. This is one currently that touches quite a lot of people, obviously, because of the emergence of these riding sort of apps and things like that. And it is quite complex in the sense that it gives quite a bit of room for abuse, so to speak. But I think before I answer that question, Zama, I need to go firstly to who is an employee. And we come down with it, obviously, to try and answer the question as to what then is an employee entitled to, and so on and so forth. Now, in terms of Section 213 of the Labor Relations Act, an employee is anyone other than an independent contractor who works for another person or assists in conducting their particular business. And Section 200A contains what we call presumptions, where one can be presumed an employee of the other if certain things or certain requirements are met. And what are those requirements? One needs to be able to determine whether the other person is under the control of the employer. In this case, we talk about the manner in which the work is done and how that work is directed, the relevant hours that employee spends, how they are integrated into the workspace, and the duration of work. For instance, per week, do they work 40 hours? Do they work more than 3 months? Have they worked for more than 3 months? And are they economically dependent on that particular employer? And who provides them with the tools for doing that particular work? And do they work exclusively for this particular employer? What courts look at is the substance over form. They ignore the label of the contract, and they look at, in reality, what is this kind of relationship that occurs between the presumed employer and the presumed employee. So those are some of the things that they look at, obviously, when they're trying to classify whether a person is an employer or that person is an independent contractor. Now, obviously, to answer your question, what are these immediate consequences? As an employee, one is entitled to sick leave, for instance, in terms of basic conditions of Employment Act. Mm. And in this case, if you're an independent contractor, you're not entitled to sick leave. There is no deduction for UIF. An independent contractor is not covered under UIF because they don't make contributions in relation to the UIF. And obviously, what then happens is that the drivers, the 60-60 Uber drivers and so on, they then fall between the cracks because it becomes very difficult to determine who the employer is at this particular point.
Mm. Yeah, good rough. Now, the CCMA has previously ruled in favor of drivers, citing that platforms exercise significant control through performance standards, deactivations, etc. Why is control the deciding factor in whether someone is an employee or a contractor?
Very interesting question as well. Why is control such a big factor? Control, it actually creates the cornerstone of employment law. In other words, the courts use a reality test. They check what really is happening on the ground.
Mm.
Now, when a person exercises control over a particular or directs a particular person's employment relationship and so on and so forth, for instance, by determining the hours in which that person works, when they come into work, when they leave work, how many hours they have to work, and all those aspects that indicate that there is control, then it means, in terms of the reality test that the courts use, that particular person is under the control of the employer. In other words, they cannot wake up, for instance, and say, "Oh no, you know, I'm not going to pitch up for work today. I'll just sit at home," because the employer is going to want them to account for the time that they are not at work.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be complicated going forward, eh? I can foresee that. Now, recent proposed amendments to the Labor Relations Act aimed to redefine employee, and that's why I was saying that statement, to include individuals doing personal work for platforms. What would be the implications of such amendments? I think they're huge.
Great. There are huge implications. Now, what's on the table currently is obviously these proposals that are aimed at redefining who is an employee. And the first implication of it is that the drivers would be able to access or would be able to have union rights. They will be able to unionize and create or join unions where they can engage in collective bargaining. That is one of the first implications. They would be protected in terms of the Labor Relations Act, and obviously they'll be able to access CCMA to have their matters adjudicated on by the CCMA, for instance, where a driver's app is deactivated and so on and so forth. And the minimum wage can be determined. Obviously, there'll be the implication of the minimum wage, which can be determined. The sectoral determination, for instance, when they form the unions that need to form a particular sector, And according to this, those sectorial determination, they'll be able to determine what is the base salary that an Uber driver, for instance, or Checker 6060 rider would be entitled to.
Many drivers feel that they are managed by an app rather than a human. This is what the case was made at CCMA. Now, from a legal standpoint, can a mathematical algorithm be considered an employer?
The short answer really to that, Zama, is no. A mathematical algorithm cannot be an employer. The law in South Africa only recognizes an employer as a person, which is a natural person, or a juristic person, in this case, which would be a company. Right. Now, obviously, the Uber case that you're talking about, which is Uber South Africa Technology Services versus NUPSAWA. In this case, what happened is the driver's apps were deactivated from Uber app, and what they did is they referred the case to the CCMA for unfair dismissal dispute. They claimed, obviously, that they were employed by Uber South Africa, and Uber South Africa, in this case, argued that they were independent contractors and they were not employees. They were not employees, and they did not have a direct employer-employee relationship. In that case, the CCMA commissioner initially ruled in favor of the drivers, finding that they were, in actual fact, employees. In this case, obviously, what the commissioner looked at is the very question that you were asking, Zama. Why is control so vital in determining? Remember, control is the realistic test of what exactly is happening on the ground. Now, the legal principles that came out of that particular case is that what is the reality of the relationship between the employer and the employee. In this case, obviously, like I said, the courts must look beyond just that the contract, and they must examine the true nature of the relationship between the employer and the employee. What exactly is happening on the ground? Who provides this rider, for instance, with the app that they use to pick up A, B, C, and D and take it to X, Y, Z? And that app is a tool. It's a tool of the trade. And who provides that? It would be the company, which is Uber, for instance. And then the court also looked at the entities. Who are these entities that are involved in this case? The court overturned the CCMA case on the basis, it was a technical basis, and the basis was that the Uber BV, which is a Netherlands company, was the company that the drivers had entered into the contract with, and not Uber SA. So the contracts that they entered into with Uber were contracts that they signed with Uber BV of Netherlands and not Uber South Africa. And on that technicality, the case was thrown out. However, what is critically important in this particular issue is that the court sort of kicked the can down the line in determining the employer-employee relationship in actual fact between Uber BV and the drivers.
When you say they've kicked the can down, which court then should be dealing with next?
Look, in essence, the court should have dealt with this particular question of whose employees are these particular drivers? Are they employees of Uber BV or they're employees of Uber SA? Mm. However, the court decided not to venture into that, obviously, because I think that was not a question before the court. Mm. And that question needed to have been raised. For instance, if Uber BV had to be cited, and they would have had to answer to that case. And obviously, when the question is not asked of the court, it becomes difficult for the court to engage into adjudication of who, in actual fact, becomes the employer in this case.
Hmm. Well, we shall still. I think this is still a developing story, man. But I don't think that it's concluded by any stretch of imagination. There's a lot that's still going to be coming out of this one. We will connect with you as we see the developments coming out. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Zamai, and thank you to your listeners.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Cheers.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.